Welcome in, everybody. It's Thursday, October 28th. On today's show, you know those vaccine passports that the government would like you to get? Well, you won't actually believe who's behind those passports. And it's actually all pretty super creepy.
And Democrats' plan to tax the billionaires hits a brick wall. So what is the next plan in President Biden's multi-trillion dollar infrastructure stimulus? We went from plan A to plan B. I think we're in C now. We'll see. We've got some details.
And yeah, there's some breaking news on this. Just crossed the wire just a few moments ago. So we'll bring you the very latest on that, plus jobs numbers and the whole economy shebang this morning. Plus, employers are going too far once again. They want to find out if you have COVID, so they're making employees pay to get tested. You won't believe this story. We've got all that and more as Morning Invest starts right now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And we've got a jam-packed show for you. You can see from the rundown right here to my left right here, we got vaccine passports we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the COVID tests. This is a pretty crazy story. The latest on the stimulus package, but some good news perhaps on wages.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to tread lightfully. Tread lightly. We're going to buzz lightfully on the COVID news because it's dangerous to talk about COVID on social media, and we're going to not tell you at all what to do, not pretend we're scientists, but we're going to report the news and ask you to decide for yourself if this is fair, this is right.
Yeah, we won't tell you what to do, but we'll bring you the news on this. So good morning, everybody. Let's start with the vaccine passports story. And you know, a lot of people are excited right now because, you know, hey, Apple, I was listening to one of my tech podcasts this morning on my walk, and one of the hosts of the show was like, one thing we should mention about the new iOS is that you can now put your COVID passport in your phone, right? You can, depending on your state, like if you live in California, you can put your COVID passport with a QR code right in your phone and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's this big push to get this whole passport thing taken care of, right?
Standardized, like the European Union has. That's right.
Right. Well, and a lot of people are saying, you know, this is really important. We should really get these COVID passports out. Now, as the Gray Zone is reporting this morning, who's behind all of this? Well, it turns out the military intelligence is at the center of this U.S. digital vaccine passport push.
Yes, but the military intelligence was in charge of the vaccine rollout. So why is that concerning?
Well, we can always trust the military, right? We can absolutely trust. Like, do you put your trust and faith in what the military is doing?
I mean, asking the question.
This is not the 1940s, right after World War II, where there was an enormous popularity of the U.S. military, where if the U.S. military, after victory in World War II and over the Third Reich and Imperial Japan, said, move out of the way, get out of this road. You never saw anything that we were doing here. Everyone in America was like, yes, yes, we love the military. We love that we can trust them, right? Now the military industrial complex, this shadowy military intelligence, rules everything. So let me just bring you what the Gray Zone is saying.
Okay.
While vaccine passports have been marketed as a boon to public health, promising safety, privacy, and convenience for those who've been vaccinated against COVID-19, the pivotal role a shadowy military intelligence organization is playing in the push to implement the system in digital form has raised serious civil liberties concerns. It's known as MITRE, M-I-T-R-E.
Okay, so let's break, just keep going down that, like, explain to me why this is bothering you so much. Because again, we already knew the military did this big 60 minutes, you know, like PR show about how, oh, we're ready to roll out the COVID vaccine as soon as it gets FDA approval. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw all those refrigerated trucks like at the ready, basically like in idle. So we knew this. We knew the military was behind COVID vaccine rollouts.
Right. But what it is now is to make sure that the public-private partnership known as the Vaccine Credential Initiative, the VCI, is like a major piece of this MITRE plan. And it's described by Forbes magazine as a cloak and dagger research and development shop that is most important organization you've never heard of.
Yes.
MITRE has developed some of the most invasive surveillance technology in the United States used by U.S. spy agencies today. So we've all got now, everyone who gets this vaccine passport, the U.S. government will know, track down and know exactly who has it. Right. You know, first, for instance, they built an FBI capture individual fingerprints program and that were posted on social media sites. So they were able to take off of social media people's fingerprints and put this as part of a database.
But this is already being done in Europe. The government absolutely knows.
Do two wrongs make a right?
No, I'm just asking, like, what is the major concern? In Europe, you have the vaccine or you don't, and the government knows based on your public health number.
It's surveillance.
Right, well, and the thing is, they're not just proposing vaccine tracking, though. They're going to be tracking, like it's saying, with this ID thing, and I know you haven't said who's behind all this yet, so I won't allude to that, but they're going to be tracking, like, it's basically like a social credit thing where they can basically have all your information, which leads to them being able to shut down your bank account if you do something that they don't agree with, or, you know, it's opening it up to track everything. If you give them an inch, they take a mile.
Right. So we can trust the CIA. I mean, just yesterday we were doing the story about the JFK documents not being released because of this shadowy, you know, what are they trying to hide so we can't get the access to the JFK documents that Biden promised us?
Yes, but on this show, we have said many times it would be nice to have a socialized national health center, right? And that information would then be in a government database if there was socialized medicine, like in other countries, like in England and Europe. And so that's something we would have to have anyway. So we have to be comfortable with government agencies keeping this information if we do want national health, which I think that we do, right? So I just want to keep pushing you to say, what are you afraid of?
I'm just afraid of what they do with this information. I'm afraid of how they use this information.
But what do you think governments overseas do with this information that may or may not be nefarious?
Well, I mean, we've certainly seen what countries with private information, what they've done to citizens.
Okay, here's an example. If you want to get a mortgage, or if you want to get a dog in Germany, you have to have insurance. You must have insurance in case that dog bites somebody. It's a requirement, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to get a mortgage or a car loan, you have to have some life insurance against that loan. Now, Europe is big on privacy. They keep that information so that, like, your insurance broker won't see it. But the mortgage company can discriminate against you based on pre-existing health conditions. They can say, you look more likely to die in the next 10 years. I don't want to lend you money for 30 years.
You couldn't complete the health test, the treadmill stress test.
That's how it is. And so are you saying that you're against that entire system? That absolutely is what could happen.
I think you're conflating two things.
I think the thing is, like, on an individual basis, like tracking that stuff from the individual source, the medical thing, and then the passport, the vaccine thing. Whereas what they're talking about is a real ID where it tracks everything under one system. So all of your medical, all of your banking.
That is how it works in Europe. That absolutely is how a socialized medicine works. And it does, in fact, work. I know this from firsthand.
Okay, but my problem is, who's running it? Right, the National Health Service in certain countries, the national, the what do you call it? Like in Portugal,
it's the SNS.
SNS.
So, and it's tied to your banking.
No, it's not.
It's not tied to your banking. But the issue that I want to bring up with the United States version of this, and again, why don't we deserve more transparency about where this stuff comes from, right? So again, according to Gray Zone's reporting, MITRE, which is the organization behind this, their own COVID-19 umbrella coalition includes InQtel, the venture capital arm of the CIA.
Yes.
And Palantir, which is a scandal-stained private spying firm, which has been used to obviously build software for a lot of the big defense industry.
Okay. I do not think that socialized medicine necessitates any relationship to any Justice Department arm.
Exactly. Here you go.
I'm with you on this.
Okay.
That also seems super sketch.
By the way,
I'm just
CIA.
Saying the idea of a vaccine passport, the idea of, like, nationally kept health records does not offend me. The idea of this connection does. And I want to be clear about that, because if we're to say that we want socialized medicine, which absolutely I do not want my parents to die on Medicare or Medicaid or anything related, because those are terrible programs. then we have to get used to having a database.
I totally agree with you on the government itself. Okay. They've got our social security numbers. They have our tax information, right? To have a national database that actually can benefit its citizenry so that they can, it's all digital. It's all taken care of. You don't have to have doctors faxing documents with old fax machines. Yes. Like in the United States, like if you move doctors, yeah, that doctor has to fax documents to a new doctor.
Yes.
In Europe, where they have, you know, great healthcare.
Yes.
You've got, it's a national system so that that information is available readily. But Elizabeth Ranares, she's the founding director of the Notre Dame and IBM's Technology Ethics Lab. She says, as a dominant technology and surveillance companies like MITRE pursue new revenue streams in healthcare and financial services, privately owned and operated ID systems with profit-maximizing business models threaten the privacy, security, and other fundamental rights of individuals and communities. So you've got MITRE, and you've got Palantir, and you've got the CIA that is going to be, that is involved in this military intelligence apparatus getting us these digital vaccine passports.
Okay, but here's the thing. The United States outsources everything from Medicare implementation to overseas.
But are we okay with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay? Are you okay with that?
Absolutely not. We did a story in the newsletter recently about prisoners and how, what was it that was outsourced? Their mail.
Yeah.
That they were starting to outsource mail service so that some of them weren't getting their mail, or they wanted to charge them for mail. Like,
now they're reading through their mail and giving them a digital
form. This is a civil liberty to
have
mail, is it not? Right. And they can't even just have letters anymore. They want to pay for them to see the digital. Like, outsourcing is the name of the game in the U.S. government. I'm not saying it's good. I don't like it either.
And who else is behind this? Bill Gates, right? So this idea of this... You know, tech oligarchs.
Do you have that
like
video?
Bill Gates? I don't have it handy. No. Do you have?
But you know which video I'm talking about?
From the WHO or no?
The digital ID video that shows exact, like it's a video showing what this is going to be and how deep it goes.
No, I don't have the video.
Okay, Jimmy Dore played it, but I can't find it outside of Jimmy Dore's show.
Mm. I'll have to find it later.
Maybe I'm looking for it.
Show it later, but. Yeah.
Okay, how is Bill Gates? Tell me how this is related.
Well, because he is involved with, for instance, as the Gray Zone pointed out, that his, let me pull this up. Threw me off here with that question.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off.
Let me just pull up this other article. But because when you have these digital passports here, like public health or private wealth, as they detail in their first part of this series, how digital vaccine passports pave the way for unprecedented surveillance capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, where does it have the Bill Gates stuff? Is it further down here in the piece?
I saw it too, and I just couldn't. I mean, it just...
Yeah, so digital ID and the digital currency systems have already enabled the extraction of unbelievable profits in the global south, where hundreds of millions of people remain unbanked and therefore outside the sphere of electronic payment systems.
Okay, so we're just saying Bill Gates has already like paved the way from this. He is not actually involved in the database of vaccine passports.
Well,
it does not say. I don't want to like.
No, I'm not saying.
I don't want to go that far where people are saying, oh. You
okay,
know.
Well, I found the video. Went for when you
okay.
want to show it.
So Gates and other mavens of the digital ID industry have an unprecedented opportunity to introduce their programs into wealthy countries of the global north.
Absolutely they do, because everything is outsourced. The United States government doesn't do much for itself.
Okay, so are we okay with this?
No, I'm not saying that.
But, you know, is this a main problem with capitalism? You know, where we outsource everything, and so they can turn these vaccine passports into money grabs.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, in the same way that Facebook can know exactly what you're doing, can present ads to you, now all of these companies, Palantir and others, would have access to this information. That the CIA can mm-hmm. have access to every detail of your family by having access to your health records, where you're going, what you're buying, what you're doing online.
No, definitely not the CIA. If there was a centralized medical system that we could trust, it's yeah. like I want it, but I have no faith that the United States could implement it.
Right. Here's the thing. Let's set up a central national database in the United States and make sure that the CIA doesn't tap into it.
Absolutely. Believe that could happen.
All right. David has this video. Can you play it?
Yeah. So let me go full screen here. And I got to swap my audio so you guys can't talk Otherwise, you're going to...
How long is this?
You're going to echo. It's 3 minutes.
Okay.
But I don't think we have to play the whole thing.
Okay.
So.
I don't hear it.
I don't hear it either, but... Can people in the chat hear it?
Her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identities.
I hear it now.
Hello, everyone. Meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me, her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services. In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity both online and face-to-face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination. Time to go to her exam. Lucy is a bit stressed out. I'm here to make it easy for her to prove she is the right candidate, with a quick and secure connection between her phone and the examiner's. Exam passed successfully. Quick stop at the doctor's before celebrating, and no time to lose. On the way, Lucy uses me to declare her passport lost. She needs it for her upcoming road trip. No issue. She can request an emergency digital passport without having to go to the authority office. I make official admin a lot smoother. And that's not all. I can also help Lucy request a birth certificate, pay her taxes, or prove who she is when onboarding to new services, such as opening a bank account. I allow Lucy to certify her healthcare coverage entitlement. She's able to decide whether to authorize the doctor to access her medical records or not, ensuring her control over her personal data. Lucy needs one more thing before being all set for her trip to Australia: renting a car. I help her share her driver's license credentials online, so that she doesn't have to wait hours in a queue to collect the car when she gets to Brisbane. The rental company benefits from secure and accurate information, and Lucy from a smooth experience. Lucy's friends are waiting for her inside the bar. To allow her to get in, I simply generate a QR code that proves Lucy is old enough, so she doesn't have to share all her ID details with the bar staff. So yes, I'm Lucy's best companion. I protect her identity and official credentials wherever she goes. I provide secured access to public and private services and allow her to have full control over her data privacy. In other words, I give the right access to the right data to the right person. I am also trusted by governments to best support countries' digital transformation, fight against ID fraud, and deliver smooth public services. I am the Talis Digital ID Wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, you see real. How that could be abused?
See, that's real, by the way. I thought at first that this was a joke. That's not. That's a real ad. That's a real ad from Talis. Here's,
yeah.
I mean, and they say this is a precursor to the digital ID, having vaccine passports.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like, if you have that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm hearing Ted. I started hearing Ted, the senator. Lasso? No, Ted, the senator none of us like from Texas.
Ted Cruz?
Oh. Ted Cruz. It's the ability for them to just shut this off. Like if you have all this information in this, and it's like if you do anything, like all of a sudden you're in some group and you're labeled a domestic terrorist, they can lock your information and then you can't scan anything.
Yeah.
You can do nothing.
Yeah. Like you're locked down.
That's like the net.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the social credit score.
It is exactly that. It's like Sandra Bullock, like racing against time.
Right. They took her whole life. Like they took her house.
Yeah.
They took her buddies.
Exactly.
They took her vacation.
Look, I'm scared about this stuff. I think that this is, and by the way, this is a NATO-backed group, this Talis group. If you look into this company, this group Talis, they are a surveillance company. They are a NATO-backed group. Mm-hmm. So they're getting money from NATO. I mean, this stuff is scary. And they have all this money. They can put together this ad about Lucy and how great her life is going to be now that her whole life, from the moment she wakes up mm-hmm. to the moment she goes to bed, is controlled by Talos.
I mean, the technology has the potential for it, right? It's just that none of us believe that it will be put into benevolent hands.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that and I'm like, oh, wow, that would actually be kind of cool to be able to just go up and get things scanned and not have to have a wallet with all these cards and stuff. I mean, there's a lot that, and I think that's how they'll sell it. They'll be like, look how convenient this is. This is so convenient. And yet you're going to give this information to a government that never, what do they ever do for us? You know, like
multi-tweets, definitely for citizen benefit. Definitely. Yeah, nothing's going to go wrong here.
Okay, well, I want to talk a little bit more about this idea of not having a vaccine passport, but instead refusing to get the vaccine and having to pay for your own COVID test, because the city of Los Angeles approved a plan on Tuesday that called for non-vaccinated employees to have regular COVID tests, right? And they have to have how many? 4 tests per pay period. I think that's once a week at the very least. The problem with this is that now they are saying non-vaccinated employees will have to pay for those tests out of pocket at a cost of $65 each. Now, first of all,
what?
COVID test does not cost $65. That is an inflated price. Second, should the employee have to pay for that themselves? And here's a question that I really want to posit is, is it fair, right? Because if the vaccine is meant to protect your own body from going to the hospital, right? The vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID, obviously. We were both breakthrough cases. The vaccine makes it so that your COVID case will be less severe. It keeps you from going to the hospital. But vaccinated people can carry COVID, and unvaccinated people can carry COVID. So why, of two groups
and
of people,
just to be clear,
if two groups of people can carry COVID, why does only one group have to get tested, right? So the idea is you get vaccinated to protect yourself. And I don't protect you from getting it because I can still carry it and give it to you.
Right.
That is the science. So you, as me as a vaccinated person, let's pretend you're not a vaccinated person,
right?
And so we both can carry it mm-hmm. and it can spread from the both of us.
Right.
Why weaponize the COVID test for only one group? If we're worried about spreading it, shouldn't both groups have to test?
Right.
This is my thing, right?
This is my thing about the vaccine passport stuff.
It's like, I believe that vaccination is something that I believe that it did make my COVID case more tolerable. COVID felt like hell. I felt like even my pillow hurt laying on the pillow. It was awful, but I was over it in 2 days and I never had any risk of hospitalization. And I am a vaccinated person and I feel comfortable with that choice. But I still can spread it,
right?
I have superhuman antibodies now. I've had the blood test and it's like, I'm like super COVID. But that does not mean that I cannot have it in and around my person and give it to somebody else. I absolutely can. So are we weaponizing the COVID test to punish each other?
Yes. And I also believe that as part of this is the vaccine passport issue, right? So we can open the borders. If you've got a vaccine passport, you can travel to Europe. If you can travel to the United States. The airlines this morning are talking about how they're expecting an absolute rush for booking airline flights now that the United States is opening its lessening its travel restrictions. If you're vaccinated.
Yes.
Right? But yet it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or if you are vaccinated, you can still spread it.
Right.
So what does the passport really do other than some misaligned government idea about how we can stop the spread of this?
Yes.
I don't understand. I mean, and it also proves that Dr. Fauci is absolutely full of garbage and has continued to lie about this from day one.
Okay, I don't want to go down that path.
You don't want to go down a Fauci rabbit hole?
I absolutely do not want to do that.
But this is exactly the point.
I think Dr. Fauci has said that the vaccine does not prevent you from spreading it. He absolutely has.
Well, he has now that they've been proven.
You can still carry it, right? And so politicians are now seeing that one political group will use it against the other and say, oh, you're not going to get vaccinated. Mostly it's Republicans, right? The data bears that out. that are vaccine hesitant, that won't do it, and Democrats are more adopting of the vaccine. And so,
but that's
now,
because the narrative has been pushed from the administration that what they were saying is fact, and everything that they were saying that is fact, even on the CDC, has changed to where it's no longer fact. We were told that if you got vaccinated, you were safe, you couldn't get it, you wouldn't spread it. And it's changed
all along.
And the narrative
was like, oh, protect your grandparents.
And herd immunity. Everyone gets a vaccine, we'll get to herd immunity. And now China is grappling with the idea of zero COVID right there.
Yeah.
Their whole plan is zero COVID in China. Well, guess what? That's never going to happen. New Zealand tried zero COVID. Guess what happened? It's not going to happen because you're going to have cases. It's going to be with us forever.
Right.
Right? So it's like, how do you live with this? But the whole idea of the passports and also the... like
only
forcing...
tested non-vaccinated people. It makes no sense. You should test both groups.
Yeah.
And if you're only testing one group at their own expense, this is absolutely discriminatory. All groups should be tested at their own expense.
And
if this is what we're trying to make sure you're not carrying it, right? When both populations are capable of carrying it.
Yeah.
So then everybody should be tested all the time if that's what we're going to do. I don't agree that that's what we're going to have to do.
By the way, I should mention, like people are saying, oh, I think some comments are being blocked. I should mention that, I don't know, but I will tell you, we're not blocking any comments.
I have my hands in the air. I'm not. I'm gesturing wildly.
My hands are up here. Okay. YouTube has their own stuff going on right now. As you know, we were taken off the air for a week talking about the truth as it relates to this. And so I just want to be clear. We are not blocking anything. But let me finish. I want to finish on this.
Okay. I'm afraid of what you're going
to
say.
No. What you forgot to mention in the story is that they're being asked to take this test twice a week. Twice a week, they're being asked to take this test. And to your number, it was like, what, $65 per time?
Which equates to $260 per pay period.
Yeah, think about that. I think it's probably, if it's twice a week, what is 65 times?
Well, we don't know. I guess they must pay bimonthly.
By month. So every 2 weeks. Yeah,
Every 2 weeks.
That makes sense. That's ridiculous.
Yes,
and they're being
asked
to pay for
$520 a month.
City workers who have requested a medical or religious exemption, however, will be reimbursed, okay, for the costs of their tests if their exclusion from the mandate is ultimately accepted. They will still be subject to testing twice a week.
Accepted by who?
Yeah. A review board, I suppose.
Yeah, who's the reviewer of all this?
Yes. Again, I'm fine with this if you want to test people because you think, okay, you might have COVID and you might pass it around. Fine. Test everybody then. You have to test the vaccinated people too.
I'm not even fine with the tests anymore because if you think about how many people end up dying from the flu. Think about other airborne, think about other things that we spread to people all the time. So let's say you're in line at the airport and you walk into certain places or at the airlines and they do the laser test
right.
on your forehead.
And that's
the
theater.
Temperature.
Right.
Right. They do that to see, Clayton's at 101. Oh, he clearly has a fever. Let's pull him aside. Well, what does it matter if I have a fever from COVID or if I have a fever from the flu?
Right.
Like, what's the difference? And how are you going to make that determination?
I'm not sure what your point is here.
But, we never did this before is my point.
Oh, like, because...
And the flu is, we can spread the flu to an elderly patient on the flight.
But COVID has it's an infection ratio of over 10, I think. And the flu has an infection ratio of 1. Mm. It's like one flu patient infects one other. COVID is 1 to 10, right? So you don't know how many people you have spread this to. And breakthrough cases happen, right? I had Pfizer, which is known to be the best vaccine out there by most
physicians. I had the
physicians.
Johnson & Johnson, which is considered to be the worst.
And I had a breakthrough case and I felt like doo-doo. And I'm extremely healthy. And so whoever gave it to me was most likely tested in, recent time, but they still were carrying it. So a test like is good within 72 hours. And then I go to the post office and I smear my hand across it and then I've got it, it's like they're cross sections of time. That's the problem. But again, if we're pretending that the test is really going to prevent the spread, you can't just punish people who are unvaccinated. You have to test everybody.
And as Laura points out in our chat, Laura says, where did it go? Laura says that's not provable because there's been an unreliability of tests too. I mean, Think
which
about
which part's not provable.
I'm not exactly sure because she maybe is commenting about something else. But we've absolutely seen these false positive of tests.
Yes,
you know, and
yeah,
so
good point.
So, okay, like, do we know then that this person? So now this person what can't go to work for 2 weeks? Like, what's the downside if they do test positive? Are they just quarantine for 2 weeks at home then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and think about the vaccine passport. Like, what about people who have? Can you get a vaccine passport? Can you get a passport if you have natural immunity? You know, like what if your antibodies are off the charts because you've gotten infected, right? And you
yes.
don't have the vaccine, but your antibodies are now
in some countries. Yes, you can.
In some countries, not the
in the
United
U.S.
States.
No, but in some countries, yeah. Yes,
in,
you can.
In Europe, in certain countries in Europe, you can absolutely get.
That point alone just shows that there's like an agenda here, because in other countries that actually matters, but the fact that it does not matter here tells you, because that when the first conversation first started, it was all about herd immunity and antibodies. Now they don't even mention antibodies and they don't even talk about herd immunity because they know that it doesn't exist. So it's like, why doesn't natural immunity count here in the United States? Because that feels like the agenda is to get everybody vaccinated. So these pharmaceutical, I mean, what else are you left to believe? So the pharmaceutical companies can make money. That's like the only thing that it leads to.
It feels that way. Mm-hmm. For instance, here in Portugal, if you have had COVID, you cannot get a vaccine for 6 months because your antibodies will carry you at least that far. That's the medical community's rationale, right? And if you have had COVID, you only get one of the two shots, not two, because they are relying on some amount of immunity that you have had from having the infection.
Right.
So yes,
but you can't even talk about it here.
It would seem that there is a different, right. Again, maybe it just comes down to the fact that the United States has no database to verify that. Mm. I mean, see how common it is to have the fake vaccines, right? Because there's no national database to even know about them.
And you're saying that like they have no way to track that, which makes you wonder, then do they have a way to actually track the numbers that we're being given? You know, like how accurate is any of the information from the very beginning that we've been getting?
Yeah.
There's a great piece I want to point your attention to on Vox Media. They did a really good piece here, and I read it. We read it over the weekend. How you'll know when COVID-19 has gone from pandemic to endemic. And it's actually really interesting. And as they point out, it's more subjective than you think. Again, it's available on Vox, VOX.com. Go there and read it. I don't want to go through the whole thing now, but basically, we have a long way to go before this is not a pandemic anymore. And that the virus, basically, once the virus gets to a level where it's only spreading one-to-one, like a flu, that's kind of at the point when that's even just like the lowest, that's like the bare minimum threshold for when we can start to say that this is an endemic, not a pandemic. And even that is far from happening right now. That right now, a person gets COVID, they can spread it to, what did you say, 10 to 1? Like it's.
I think it's between 10 and 15. I don't remember the exact number, but I.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how does that get down? You know, I guess.
Well, and I think it's Norway that's already labeled it an endemic. Like there's Norse countries that are already in the endemic phase.
Yeah. Netherlands, I think, did it as well. Netherlands did it as well. And anyway, that's where we are on this story.
All right. Before Clayton says anything else controversial, let's go to a show sponsor. I'm so worried about what's going to come out of your mouth these days. Okay. I think we did it, right?
I think we got through it.
Yeah. We offended nobody. I hope. Maybe Dr. Fauci. Okay. We want to tell you about our show sponsors over at Papa and Barkley, California. Now, these are natural remedies made from CBD to help you relieve any pain, stress, or restlessness in your life. These are CBD products such as the Relief Balm, the Relief Gels, and the Relief, drops is the word I'm looking for. Now, obviously, pharmaceuticals are something that we don't have an agreement on in this country. And it is nice to have a more natural remedy that has been proven through the ages as something that all natural healers have used throughout the test of time. We especially like to use the teas sometimes on a more stressful night to calm down in a more natural way. Any of the balms are quite nice. And, you know, living through a pandemic, working through a pandemic, having a family. These are stressful times. And I think people are looking for an alternative to modern day pharmaceuticals. In fact, recently we reported in the newsletter that there are studies that show that regular use of Tylenol is an endocrine disruptor, that Tylenol can disrupt your natural hormones. CBD does not. It has been proven to be a nice, natural, clean ingredient and whole plant, full spectrum CBD. So our partners over at Papa and Barkley have a full buffet for you.
Can I mention this little, I love the story of Papa and Barkley. Papa and his dog Barkley was in a lot of pain. And so the founder was like, I wanted to find something to help him with his back pain. And that's how the founder of the company came up with, he literally created the balm, the pain balm, in his crock pot at the very beginning to provide relief to his dad. And it worked. And being able to like help him with his debilitating back pain, it turned into a line, a business, all natural, full strength, tropical balms, oils, tinctures, capsules, the putting them on your forehead and like in your temples and rubbing them in, like getting rid of headaches.
We absolutely have had good success with that on nights when you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to sleep tonight. I'm a little wound up. Or any night when you're not feeling your best, it really does help take the edge off and let you sleep in a more natural way. And again, it's plant-based. It's not an endocrine disruptor. Papa and Barkley is on a mission to improve lives through the CBD in its purest and cleanest form. So right now you can get 20% off your order. Go to papaandbarkleycbd.com/invest. You will get 20% off your first purchase, and that is 20% off for new customers at Papa and Barkley. In fact, you know, we were new to the CBD products, and this is what I put in Clayton's stocking last year as a way to sort of like his Christmas stocking, as an introduction to these types of products. And they are, in my experience and experience of our family, they are non-addictive. And they are natural and they are gentle as well, but they also really do work. So we thank them for their show sponsor. Head on over and look at these gift sets. They're really nice. The sleep set, the bliss set. I think you'll like what you have to see. And if you order now, they can be in your Christmas stockings too.
20% off. Go to papaandbarkleycbd.com/invest. It's a long URL, so write it down. It's right there on your screen. Or we'll have it in the show description later for you, just in case you missed it. papaandbarkleycbd.com/invest. Our thanks to them. And I love a company that started from wanting to scratch their own itch, you know, help a family member out. That's really, really great.
Well, and I want to speak to CBD a little bit and how it actually helps my gut health a lot. It helps with the IBS that I have. I started taking CBD, and within probably about a month, it's way more under control.
Wow.
So I don't have to like go eat and then run into the bathroom right after eating. It's like, it's helped a lot. So,
yeah, it also was used by Native Americans before the show. In the break, we had a whole talk about natural healing and Native American wisdom. And yes, it's a age old remedy. And but you don't want to make it yourself if you don't know what you're doing. So trust in the experts.
Yeah. How's Grover doing? He's passed out. People and check in on Grover before we get to our stimulus update today.
Where's his cardigan?
His cardigan, he took off his cardigan.
It was unseasonably warm today.
Yeah, it was a little warm day today.
Oh, okay. So he didn't need it.
Running on the beach over there. All right, let's talk about your stimulus today and what is going on as it relates to wages, taxes, and the overall stimulus plan. So as you know, President Biden is he's leaving for Europe, and he wants this success before he gets out of town. Well, last night we learned that this tax plan that Ron Wyden, we talked about it here on the show yesterday, this tax plan that was supposed to be rolled out to tax billionaires specifically, has now failed. We thought, well, wow, this is going to be a breakthrough for them. They're going to be on the same page. It's not. So what happened?
Okay. The plan, so let's walk you back just a little bit. We're talking about the human stimulus plan, right? This is the plan that President Biden wanted to roll out that was supposed to cost near $3 trillion that would provide social services such as child care, preschool, federal. No, I'm not asking you, Siri. Not asking you at all. Okay, preschool, community college, child tax credit, worker tax credit, paid parental leave, more coverage for Medicare, Medicaid, vision, dental, all of those things, right? So we've been waiting, like, are we going to get this? And the sticking point is, how can the country afford it? Because as it stands, we cannot. You may remember just last month, we hit a debt ceiling and Congress had to pass a law to let us go past it. So we don't have the money to spend, but we still collectively want it. So the original plan was to raise taxes across the board, including raising the corporate tax rate. That went in the trash can late last week. The next plan was to increase taxes on only billionaires for the value of assets that they hold on to but do not sell. That apparently went into the trash can just yesterday. Now, plan C is to include a 3% surtax on top of regular income tax for anyone earning more than $10 million. You know, I don't have a list of how many people there are that have that much money. I don't have a list of like income tax revenue in the U.S. I can't tell if these two things equal the same thing. Like, would that surtax on regular income tax? Now we're taxing millionaires, right? Yesterday we were taxing billionaires. So we lowered the threshold. It does seem like that would be a heck of a lot more tax revenue than just from these billionaires, but we don't know. We still don't know. And right. The only thing we do know is we cannot afford it.
Right. I mean, there were some developments overnight. Kyrsten Sinema, Joe Manchin met for about 2.5 hours. I mean, think about the time. You know, it's an important meeting when you're meeting with the president for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Kyrsten Sinema, Joe Manchin at the White House meeting with President Biden to nail this down. And apparently, you know, we now know that, of course, this has been tossed into the shredder. Okay. So this plan, this tax agenda has been thrown out. Okay. But we do know that at least last night, there was some sort of an agreement reached on the prescription drug plan. We don't still know what the price will be on for prescription drugs, allowing Medicare to then go in and actually fight for the or negotiate the price of prescription drugs, right? We don't know exactly what's going to be included in that. Hopefully it won't be excluded. We do know that Kyrsten Sinema has been lobbied pretty heavily by the prescription drug industry, wanting her to basically kibosh raising or lowering prescription drug prices. She was reluctant, but apparently last night they've come to an agreement. And the news of this morning is that according to the Washington Post, President Biden will announce a new social spending framework. And he says everyone is on board.
Okay.
So I guess this 2.5 hour meeting last night has yielded some results. Tyler Page, Sean Sullivan, and Tony Rome have been following this story. So apparently we don't know the specific policies yet. Paid family leave, we're understanding, might be removed from this.
Altogether?
Yeah.
So originally it was 12 weeks. Then in the last couple of weeks, we've got word that it's 4 weeks, and now it's back to zero. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we keep
we can't move up on that list. Yeah, right. They're like, we're last. We can't lose that. That's a perfect position.
We're the worst in the world. We got to stay the worst in the world for paid family leave.
Right. We're not for parenting.
So, I mean, education, healthcare, climate, other priorities. But he says this could, what we managed to work out last night could pave the way for the deal. We do know a price tag now. It could be between $1.75 trillion and $1.9 trillion. They were hoping, Biden was hoping it would be $3.5 trillion. Uh-huh. So this is quite a haircut, if you will, to go down this far to get, you know, to get people like Joe Manchin on board. That's how far down they had to go to get, you know, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, and some other moderate Democrats to go along with this thing. I mean,
look, you think of the senior population right now that are living on fixed income. They're getting a very, you know, I mean, they're getting a modest cost of living increase in January, but prescription drug prices are still crippling people on fixed income. And so what is another way to free up the money of people who are senior citizens is to help them out with these exorbitant prescription drug costs. If you do that, you automatically give people on Social Security a raise, right? Because you've taken one of their largest expenses and halved it, quartered it, whatever that may be. Inflation continues to be a problem. In fact, we're reporting that inflation is here to stay. The high prices of everything are pretty much the price of things now. And this morning, there are three companies offering to hike U.S. employer pay. For instance, Starbucks is agreeing to pay more. They're passing on their profits to their employees. Costco raised minimum wage to $17 per hour. And what's the third one? And McDonald's yeah. says that they will increase wages to deal with the increased cost of items.
Do we know how much they're going to pay?
I do McDonald's? Not know. I worked at McDonald's for $4.15 an hour.
I worked there for, I think I worked it for $4.25 an hour.
What? This yeah. is gender wage discrimination.
Exactly. You made more than me? You made more than me at McDonald's?
What did you just say?
$4.25.
I just said $4.15. Oh, your math is off, Clayton.
Yeah. Again, here's the glass ceiling. Here's the glass ceiling at McDonald's. We're working the same crappy job.
I don't appreciate that at all.
Oh man. Well, but see, I worked on the grill. So I was back in the grill making your quarter pounders, making your egg McMuffins. You were up in the front just making the McFlurries.
With the square hat.
Yeah, that's see, right. I didn't have to do that. I had to do harder work back there.
I had to be the pretty face.
Yeah, you had to be the pretty face. Yeah, nothing's changed. So let me just read what's in the final package here. Okay. So here's what we think is going to be in the final package today when President Biden rolls this out. I mean, good news on the wages piece that has nothing to do with the infrastructure. This is private business doing their own thing. But as far as like what the government is going to do to try to help people, the final package is expected to invest new sums towards, here's how the Washington Post breaks this down. New sums for a variety of priorities, including combating global warming, new child tax benefits, approving new free pre-kindergarten, with some spending financed through taxes targeting the ultra wealthy. But we don't exactly know how that's going to finalize yet, as Natalie pointed out. But many components have been scaled back dramatically or set to expire. And some of them could be removed entirely, including paid family leave and medical leave. To millions of Americans. Way to go, Democrats. Mm-hmm. You run the whole show. You run the White House. You run the Senate. You run the House of Representatives.
And the presidency.
Yeah, well, the White House.
Oh, you said. Sorry. I'm really listening to you right now.
Yeah, you're really paying attention. And this is like dinner time at our house. And you can't pull this off. You're scaling back medical leave for Americans, because you know what? Americans are just taking too much time off for all of these medical problems they have, you know?
It's like just get a nanny, shut up and like, you know what I mean? Like you have customers that need help. These jobs can't afford to have people gone right now. They're making these insane profits. They can't make those profits if you're not there.
It's infuriating. Yeah. So just, you know,
bring your kid with you.
So President Biden right now, I love that. Yes, go to morninginvest.com. That's our newsletter, free newsletter. I love the graphics.
Yes, and speaking of fast food, this morning we had a story about how fast food has permanent forever chemicals in it. That 89% of the fast food that was tested has phthalates.
Yeah, little microplastics.
That's not awesome. That stay inside your body forever.
And why is that? Well, it's because of the packaging and the shipping it to get it to these places.
Well, not necessarily. Actually, scientists were not able to isolate whether it was in the food itself or the packaging. They can't really tell. And it's like, does it matter? Maybe you should just not eat that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and they also put addictive chemicals in it too, like flavorings. Like they have people that go in and actually formulate these the seasonings that go on them, and then it has addictive things in it so that you actually get addicted to their food.
Yes, you know there's funny? A whole 60 Minutes piece around that you should watch about people who are like flavor chemists who work on things like Doritos, Taco Bell, the flavoring in like those sour candies that are supposed to trigger something in the brain that makes you think you want more.
Have you ever done it? Like I'll sit and eat a bag. Like I do not eat Doritos, but if I ever get them and I buy a big bag, I'll eat them and I'll sit them down and then I'll just sit there and be like, I want more. So I'll grab the bag again and start eating. You know what I mean? It's like it works.
It's like Clark in Christmas Vacation. He works at that company where he's the cereal varnisher. He's like, hey, Clark, you came up with that non-nutritive cereal varnish, right? And they said, that's right. He's like, yeah, that way it doesn't sink in the milk and it just retains its shininess floating in the milk. It's like, this is the crap we're eating.
Oh my gosh, terrible.
Yeah. And also, you know, I worked at McDonald's and we were told like the lettuce that they would use for the salads at McDonald's were sprayed with a sugar water to have a sweetness.
I was never told. That's disgusting.
The sweetness in the lettuce. Sugar in the salad. Like, can I just have a salad without
an iceberg?
The whole
lettuce.
Reason I'm getting a salad is so I don't have sugar. Like, there's enough sugar in those darn salad dressings that they have.
Yes.
There's high fructose corn syrup in those things. Now you need to spray the lettuce leaves with sugar on top of it, for crying out loud.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to leave. Where am I going to go?
America.
America.
All right. Let's move on from this story. I think we should hopefully have some solid news by tomorrow.
Yes.
About what this package would be, because the president's leaving over the weekend for Scotland for the COP26 conference, and he wants this signed before then.
And I should say some people get frustrated here in the chat. Not today, you guys are all. But I've seen people say, oh, why can't they come to an agreement? Like, one day it's like we're inches away from us, because we hear from the White House that we're inches away from a deal. And then 4 hours later in Washington, we hear that the whole tax plan has collapsed. And now they're like five steps backwards. And then this morning...
They're
five steps forward.
So this is like trying to get your kids in the car. Like, one person's yeah. shoe comes off, the other person, especially now, getting your kids in the car with masks because they have to go to school with masks. Like, do you have your mask? No. Do you have your backpack? No. Do you have your lunch? No. Do you have your, like, this is what this feels like all the time. Get your shoes
and that's
on,
what
Congress.
I'm saying. It's political theater, because it's like, it just feels like it's by design. I feel like they're always like, okay, Sinnemann and Manchin, you guys are the bad guys this time. And then, you know, we won't get this stuff passed, and then we'll pick somebody to be it next time. Cause look at how their social profiles have been elevated. I mean, when these lobbyists realize how much power these single senators have, they're like, oh, we need to invest in them. They're stopping this whole thing. Give them some money.
Right. Yeah. They, I mean, none of it.
Nothing makes sense.
Exactly, Judge. You took the words right out of my mouth. Exactly, Judge. Thanks. She's always like the...
She always delivers.
She's the truth.
She's the final word.
Right, she is.
Yeah.
Just with that glass of Merlot. Okay, what else is on the show today? Let's talk about this opioid testing story.
Oh, okay, sure. The Justice Department says that it arrested over 150 people who were responsible for trafficking opioids. Now, whenever the Justice Department announces like this, we did it, high-fiving, you know, press release type thing, we like to think, huh, okay, what do they want us to think, right?
Right.
What are they trying to say? Well, they called this Operation Dark Hunter. It's like H-U-N capital T-O-R, Hunter. Okay. Don't know why. They said that the defendants are people who engaged in tens of thousands of sales of illicit goods and services across Australia, Bulgaria, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and the UK, as well as the United States. Now, FBI Director Paul Abate, is that how you say his name? I'm not exactly sure. He points to estimates from the CDC and saying that more than 90,000 drug overdose deaths were related to opioids in 2020, and that's up over 20,000 from over 20. Sorry, that's more than 20,000 more in 2019. So obviously, the opioid crisis persists. It has been worse since the pandemic, right? And my problem with this is that it feels like fly swatting without actually figuring out why flies are coming into the house, right? And so I've been reading this book, Dope Sick, and it's really upsetting how the pharmaceutical companies were allowed to create OxyContin, were allowed to market it, were allowed to let their marketing representatives go out. And I mean, they were like so incentivized to give doctors these gifts of, you know, a free trip to Florida. They would, in order to get into the doctor's offices, they were giving the nursing staff, like, here's, you know, Applebee's gift certificate, here's manicure, pedicure. They just were openly allowed to go and market these drugs that were really used for end-of-life care to poor communities, despite and all of the legal money that goes into them preventing any responsibility, right? So now the Justice Department is coming and saying, oh, well, we're taking care of it. We got the bad guys, right? But the bad guys are in the government. The bad guys are in pharma. They're still like, yes, there are people who are in the distribution of it who are bad guys. But those people who are working for higher-ups that are not poor, disenfranchised people in poor communities. And it just, it feels to me, and it also just feels like, I just want to point out that there are still fewer deaths from opioids per year than those caused by alcohol, yet we do nothing about that. Why? Right? Because where's the money? Where's the social acceptance, right? The CDC estimates that 95,000 people per year die from alcohol-related diseases. That's 261 people per day. That is fewer than opioids. I mean, these are 2015 numbers, and they're worse now. So the U.S. allows pharma companies to bring about the opioid epidemic, and now we're all so gung-ho, right? But alcohol consumption gets worse and worse. Mm-hmm. The alcohol...
Well, and how many people die from marijuana?
And that's
illegal. It's like zero. I mean, it's probably not zero.
It's not zero.
You know, but it's definitely way, 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 way less than alcohol.
I have no idea. I don't want to say, you know, either which way, but if you look at where the profits are, right? And so if alcohol is more addictive and more deadly than opioids, and by many accounts, other addictive drugs, the Alcohol Lobby Association is allowed to say things like drink responsibly, even though their substance is more addictive, then shouldn't there be a like opioid responsibly? Or heroin responsibly, right? And so, like, we don't look at
the... Take your OxyContin responsibly.
We don't ever look at the root causes of things like this. And so when we're supposed to high-five each other because 150 drug traffickers were arrested, yet the pharmaceutical companies that were responsible for this...
Oh, they'll never be in. They're not are in not, trouble.
I mean, they're like going rounds with the Justice Department. You're like, you know, you did it, you did it, you did it. I mean, if you read this book, Dope Sick, in some of the clinical trials for the FDA for OxyContin, they were allowed to weed out people who had bad responses to OxyContin. Therefore, actually, like, that's not a clinical trial.
Right. That's like, it's like a jury selection.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you, okay, so you had a bad reaction to OxyContin, so we're going to remove you from the trial.
Right. So that we can show that it's not addictive, right? That is it. That was allowed by the FDA, a government organization, read those studies and they're like, yeah, that's fine. You took those people out. Good. This looks like it's...
Man, this study's looking better.
It's all good.
Way to go.
Full approval, right?
Wow. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the army of lobbyists that these companies have
in Washington. I just continue to get so, like, just so upset by this the more that I read about it and the more that I see, like... Okay, we're not really going after any cause of anything. You know, this is like we're high-fiving ourselves way after the game.
No, like we talked about, I think this stood out to me the other day. We talked about universal basic income in Chicago, remember? And we talked about the program where they're going to roll this out. It's the largest ever in the United States universal basic income program. I think it was, what, $500 a month?
In Chicago, yes, Chicago. It was.
And there's criticism in Chicago from certain groups that say, well, it's better if we use that money to go after violence in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty creates the violence. You're doing a better job of making sure that people have money that doesn't lead to the violence. So we always want to put Band-Aids on things instead of go towards where did the cut come from in the first place?
Yes.
But that's because they don't want the people to get it. The bureaucracies have to get it. They have to keep the money in the government's hands because they feel like they can do more for us than we could do for ourselves.
Well, that is Lyndon Johnson. President Lyndon Johnson, he started the war on poverty, right? Because he was traveling through, I think it was Appalachia, and he was like, this is unacceptable. And that is where we get programs like Medicare, Medicaid, you know, Head Start. He really thought that that was going to solve it. Problem is that business interests come before actual, like, you know, people's interests when it comes to actually solving the war on poverty.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, they're saying that these prosecutors are saying these suspects were responsible for tens of thousands of illegal sales across the U.S., Europe, and Australia. More than 200,000 ecstasy pills, fentanyl, oxycodone, hydrocodone, methamphetamine pills, firearms, etc.
Meanwhile, drug advertising went from $360 million in 1995, and then just 3 years later, when these drugs were put on the market, it was at $1.3 billion. And so whose fault is it? It's just the bad guys who are like bike pedaling them around the neighborhood? No, it absolutely is not.
Yeah, because the money. You know, and it's going to continue to happen because the money will continue to pour there. And again, why is Kyrsten Sinema like fighting the raising of prescription drug prices or the lowering of prescription drug prices? Because she's paid and lobbied for by the industry that spends tens of billions of dollars on lobbying or millions of dollars on lobbying because they know it'll equal it. That will equate to billions of dollars in profit.
Incidentally, well, and isn't it? Go ahead, David.
Go ahead. Please. Go ahead, Natalie.
Did you know that the word hipster came from the Chinese opioid epidemic in the 1800s when people who were smoking opioid would spend time like reclining on their hips? That's where hipster comes from. The word.
She taught me that.
So doesn't it seem completely out of balance that two senators can hold up a majority?
Yeah.
You know, just because they're paid better than like paid by certain industries, they can hold everything up. That just seems so imbalanced. Like that should not be allowed.
That's why the Senate is broken. You know, that you see all these people protesting saying, fix our Senate. Two people that are paid for by and that's the brilliance of these companies, right? Yeah. The pharmaceutical companies and these private equity hedge funds that have targeted Kyrsten Sinema specifically, and then the fossil fuel industry, which has set its sights on Joe Manchin. So why are we removing climate provisions in this bill? Why are we removing pharmaceutical provisions in this bill? Why are we removing certain things that where Wall Street would suffer? Because they targeted two senators.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's all it takes. And that money goes a long way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like you've got how many senators and stuff, and you only got to find two corrupt ones and you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I want to tell you how to make some money. And I got to tell you, I'm super excited that Coinbase is now joining us here on the show as a sponsor of the show. And I have to say, it's great because guess what? I use Coinbase every day. And it's where all of my crypto starts. Like when I put money into the crypto system, it starts with Coinbase. That's absolutely right. It goes right to Coinbase to get started. It's the easiest place to buy and sell cryptocurrency. You get started today and start trading immediately. And what I love about Coinbase is that they spend so much time. They are way far ahead from these other exchanges that exist out there all over the world. They spend so much time on security. They spent so much time making sure that they are safe and secure, and that, you know, that takes a lot. So they put the infrastructure, the time, attention, and effort into this. That's why they are so far ahead. And you can get $10 in free Bitcoin right now just for signing up. If you go to coinbase.com/invest, coinbase.com/invest. Very, very easy to get started with this process. And, you know, it makes it really easy to get started because it's a simple app, too.
Yes, very good user database interface.
You've used the app.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
It's idiot-proof.
And I mean, it takes the intimidation out of this too, I think, which is also, you know, which is also great. They make the app really, really useful and easy to jump into it.
Absolutely. Because that's one of the problems of Bitcoin adoption or any cryptocurrency is that people don't quite understand it. Where's my money? How do I get in there? How do I get it out? Right. And so Coinbase understands that that's a sticking point of the industry and they really have it figured out. It's really easy to understand what you're doing. You can't really make a mistake and accidentally like, oops, I lost all my money.
I did it again.
So Coinbase supports the most popular of the digital currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone from Bitcoin, Ethereum, Doge, etc. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources so you can train and actually get better at crypto and understanding. They have a fantastic mobile app so you can trade securely and you can monitor your crypto all in one place from the app. Millions of people in over 100 different countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets using their their digital wallet. So whether you're looking to diversify right now or just getting started in crypto or searching for a better way to access crypto markets, start today with Coinbase. Again, that's where I start. All of my crypto goes right into Coinbase to start, and my deposits start right in Coinbase. For a limited time, new users can get $10 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today. Just go to coinbase.com/invest. By the way, Bitcoin today just surged back over 60,000.
There it goes.
Yeah, sign up at coinbase.com/invest to get $10 in free Bitcoin. That's a great way to get started if you've been nervous about it. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/invest right now to get that free Bitcoin just for signing up.
Okay, now we're going to tell you what's trending on the internet before we go off for the day. These are the things that are trending on Twitter, on Google, on other social media platforms. There's a conversation around them if you'd like to get involved, or just tell us what you think right here. This is a safe place to put your opinions in this chat, whereas talking on all the hashtags may not be. So all opinions are welcome here, mostly, right?
That's right.
For the most part.
All opinions except mine.
Okay. Hashtag.
If I give you my opinion, I get in trouble. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. James Cavallo is trending because he came out as gay, making him the world's only openly gay professional footballer. That's soccer player for those of us that are American. He is an Australian. He plays for Adelaide United. I'm sorry, my Australian's not good. It's probably said a bit differently than that. And so when this video came out today and everyone's saying, yay, the first gay footballer, I thought, really? It just hadn't occurred to me that there were not other openly gay footballers. Yeah. So now there is. Yeah. Here we go.
And how many more will come out?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because certainly he's not the only one. I can't imagine.
Statistically, that cannot be true.
Right. There's no way statistically that he's the only gay football player.
Professional football player.
Come on.
Yes. Yeah. That cannot be true. So, okay. Okay, Janice is trending. This is a phrase that the cool kids say to each other because they want to sort of condescend someone else's nonsense, like okay, Janice,
right?
It's like a response to a Karen, kind of. In that vein, so this text conversation between a girl and her boyfriend went viral. Pull up Janice one, which the girl said, "Hey, you know, what are your red flags about me?" And the guy tells her everything that he doesn't like about her. Like, he says literally everything. Lack of accountability, flipping the script, you take things too far, too many guy friends, hoe activities, too much booze, butterfly tattoo, fights men. Keep going. Let's go to Janice 2. I'm not done. I'm not even close to being done, so don't react yet. Okay. Janice 2.
All right, I gotta zoom in.
Okay.
On this.
And she's like, damn, anything else? And he says, yes, codependent until you decide to be a big girl. Then you're codependent again. Daddy issues, mommy issues. You like thought music. You used to drive Altima with the windows down yelling, hey. Okay, don't react yet. I'm not done.
All right. I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Okay, number three.
Jeez,
Janice 3. Okay. I know. TJ 11. I'm like, hoe activity?
What is that?
Okay.
So she's a gardener.
What else? He keeps going.
She's a gardener.
Okay, these things, I'm kind of with you here. You go over your oil change mileage intervals. Yeah, I'm not for that.
But he spelled mileage wrong.
Yes, he does. Never get your tires rotated in your life. Covers check engine light with pictures. And she says, stop, I'm getting hurt now.
Oh, now she's getting hurt.
I know, like, you've gone too far with how I take care of my car. You had an emo phase and hood phase at the same time. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Okay, so number four.
Okay.
And then he says, you don't like bananas. And that's an effing, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to blur that. Biggie, who doesn't like bananas? And she says, I'm allergic. And he says, like humans are literal monkeys. Okay, Janice. And so this is true. It's got like thousands of reshares and stuff. People think it's hilarious. I mean, I don't know. I don't care if someone doesn't like bananas, but you must take care of your car and do your regular oil changes and tire rotation.
She covers. She doesn't check her mileage, and she covers her check engine light with photos. Like, oh, that yellow light is on again. Says check engine. Where's a little picture of honey?
For someone like me who's a Virgo, I'd be like, oh no, we can't even talk because I've got like pop-up reminders for Grover's flea medicine and stuff. Like, no.
Unbelievable.
All right, that is ridiculous. It doesn't really belong in a show like this, but I had to show it to you. Okay, Jada is trending because Jada Pinkett Smith was on her own podcast this week, and she says that having sex with her husband Will Smith is so hard after all these years of marriage. People do not want in this kind of honesty from Jada Pinkett Smith. This tweet says, can you bring that up?
This tweet?
It's probably because every single time he walks into the room, he's like, getting jiggy with it.
Yeah. So this is, why is Jada embarrassing Will Smith every 6 months, right? It's like she wants to talk about actually being a middle-aged woman and having a marriage for 25 years. And everyone loves Will Smith so much that they're like, sit down, girl. We don't want this from you. We don't want this honesty. Don't tell me it's... I mean, she doesn't really say anything bad other than like, it's hard to keep a sex life going after 25 years. And people are like, shut up. There are some tweets online that says that he needs to okay Janice her.
Jeez.
I appreciate that she's trying to be authentic. People don't want that from her. Okay, McDonald's Sprite is trending in response to this tweet. That one right there. It's called Sprite. Yes,
Sprite, this
that.
One. Oh, Sprite, yeah.
Okay, this person said it's their drink, and for some reason, the consensus on the internet is that McDonald's Sprite must have done that.
Wait a minute, he says, I spilled my drink.
He just says, spill my drink, and for some reason, McDonald's Sprite, like... I mean, that looks like he spilled acid.
Yeah, that's not just a...
That's a fire.
Or a flamethrower.
Yeah. There's no way. You can see clearly.
And people are talking about, you know, what toxicity McDonald's Sprite is. It's just like something we've all agreed to. It's ridiculous.
People are like,
hey, you know what? If this image gets people from stopping to drink that Sprite, good.
Yeah. People are like, wait a minute. That sugary stuff? Oh, my gosh.
Imagine what it does in your stomach.
I know.
It's probably not that far off.
Yeah. Spilled my drink. That's hilarious.
Okay. This is a serious story. Huey Ha Ha is trending. He was a 22-year-old TikTok star who died on Monday. No one knows why, but his Instagram account is raising money for his memorial. Fans took to the internet to thank him for the humor that they brought to their lives on TikTok. I was not previously aware of this person, but I am sorry for his loss.
Yeah, sad, sad, sad.
Okay, these terms are trending together. Costco, China, Los Angeles. That is because some influencers in China are being caught going to Costco in order to pretend that they're in America, because what is more American than Costco? So they're like, yeah, I'm in Los Angeles. Look at me. I'm in Costco. This Costco, though, is in Shanghai. It is the only Costco in China, and the influencers were outed by this tweet from @GiorgioMoMurder.
I love that they're like, hey, you're not in Costco. Like, I'm an influencer.
Okay, so Natalie, go ahead, Clayton, sorry.
No, I'm sure you could probably look at the license plates and realize that they're not, like, in America, right?
Right.
How difficult would it be to figure this out?
I don't know who's really, you know.
It's all at the same place. What were you
going
to say?
I mean, is that even cool to be a Costco? In that case, I'm super cool.
Right.
Maybe over there it is. But I was going to say, you need to do that one, you need to set these up and do Costco, China, and whatever. And then open the envelope. What was that Johnny Carson bit?
How they really Kreskin? Added these things
Kreskin.
To relate.
Kreskin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Don't do a doo-doo on my food. Yeah. I forget that. I forget one of the jokes.
Some people will get that.
That's an old school joke.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's all I got for you today.
Whoa.
Don't pretend you're in Los Angeles if you're actually in the Shanghai Costco.
Yeah,
and like, who goes to Costco looking like that? Can you pick up your like big
okay, the one
bulky
on the right needs to go
wearing that?
Definitely need. Yeah. The one on the right needs to go in there and buy a lot of food.
Yeah. you know, if this is how people dress at Costco, I'm going to start going to Costco more.
This is not how people dress going to Costco.
The Costcos that I've gone to in New Jersey do not.
I go like wearing a weight belt. Like I'm going to do some heavy lifting.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody like this at a Costco. I'm just going to go out on record and say that. Or a Walmart. So go on the record on that.
Also, Costco mandates masks. So.
But we just all hang. Hey, I'm going to go to Costco and hang out on the lawn. And have my, I'm going to go to Costco and hang out on the lawn and have a hot dog. I'm going to have a 30-cent hot dog.
Where's your chicken bake? You're not really at an American Costco.
A chicken bake.
I love those chicken bakes.
I remember you told me about that. You're like, I love these chicken bakes. Want to go get a chicken bake? You want to go get a chicken bake for 2 cents at Costco?
I'd be sitting out there and I don't believe you. Let me see your Costco card.
Right. You're just hanging out in the lawn. You having a picnic.
Look, Costco is for, you know, suburban moms like me. Mm-hmm. Don't pretend. Right. Don't pretend like
you're an influencer.
Don't be coming into Costco looking like that. You got to look like this.
You got to look like this. You got to look like this to go to Costco.
That's not what we do.
You do not go to Costco you looking don't belong like
well, and that girl, the girl on the left, suit. Where in the heck the girl on the left, where in the heck is she keeping that Costco card? Like there's no room for it.
No pocket.
It's like she's doing a caricature of the Costco oil changers.
I guess. Yeah, these women are not going to Costco and buying a huge block of cheese.
No, they're not.
Right now.
No. Yeah. Or snowsuits for their kids.
No.
Or anything of the sort.
What would they buy at Costco?
Sweatshirts.
Probiotics.
Leg razors.
Organic. Large tubs. My mom and I, we'd always joke like, oh, you're going to Costco. You got your beef-a-rino.
From Seinfeld. The girl on the left. The girl on the left looks like she's going to buy wrenches.
Right. She's just going to the automotive section. Yeah. She wants to get some Febreze.
Nail stuff.
Oh, boy. That's what's trending on the internet today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter right there at morninginvest.com. I should mention, published a video just a short time ago. You do not want to mention, you do not want to miss this video that I published specifically on what's happening right now in the EV space. So right here on the channel, let me see if I can pull it up here. Talked specifically about a company right now that is surging. And as a result of what's happening in the battery space right now with electric vehicles and why Tesla, et cetera, are in dire need of these batteries and this company specifically. And I'm trying to pull it up here so I can show you. But go and watch.
Is it also in the, did you put it out in the newsletter today too?
I did not.
No, that's not in the newsletter.
It's not in the newsletter, but it is right here if I can pull it up easily.
Belinda Edwards in the chat is saying she buys big blocks of cheese. So do we. Oh, do we? That's my whole reason for going there.
Exactly. So here it is. Here's the video. It's called Bigger Than Tesla. Go and check it out. It's right here on the channel. And why the EV market right now is exploding and why, like yesterday, Amazon invested in 11 companies that are EV related. And Ford announced after hours earnings yesterday, off the charts for demand for electric vehicles. So if you're interested in learning about this company, go check it out right now on the channel. It's called Bigger Than Tesla. It's right here. So when you're done watching the show, go check that video out.
So tomorrow's day, the last weekday before Halloween. Are we coming in costume?
From the waist down.
I think it should be required.
Okay. You are free to make sure you send in your pet photos.
Oh, yeah.
And Halloween themed, if you would like, or Halloween themed anything, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're happy to see that. And I don't know if I don't know.
Your pumpkin
recipe is coming. It's the pumpkin soup is forthcoming. I promise.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see.
Okay. Pets at morninginvest.com. Go to that URL. If you want to email us your pet photos, people send them to me.
You don't go to the URL because that's
an email address.
Okay. That's an email address. Email pets at morninginvest.com. But don't email me. Sometimes people send them to me, my email address. Don't do that because then your pet's photos won't get on the show. That's like a black
hole.
Then
they just become his screensaver.
Right. That's like a black hole. You do not want that. And thank you, everyone. I hope you guys like our new studio set. Do you guys like our new studio setup here? Grover loves it.
Where is he? He's gone.
Look, he's just an ear.
Oh, he is there.
It's Grovier. Yeah. Grovier.
It's Grovier. It's just an ear. On his ear.
Oh, it's radar. It's looking. Where's the noise coming from?
Yeah, it's just one ear sticking up it from the Snuggie. His university.
Just make a kiss. Snuggie. Just make a kissing sound and watch it move.
Do you see? Grover. Grover. Grover.
you gotta go.
Cher Marie. Yes, I got yours. I did forward it to our team.
Oh, there he is. Look at his little face.
Don't pretend you're
such
nice
a cute
to him
little
now.
Face.
Yeah. Grover's winking at you. All right, everyone. Much love to all of you guys. We'll see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Go and check out that other video that I just talked about on the channel called Bigger Than Tesla. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.